The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
At that time, Jesus came to Jericho and intended to pass through the town. Now a man there named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector and also a wealthy man, was seeking to see who Jesus was. But he could not see him because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When he reached the place, Jesus looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down quickly, for today I must stay at your house." And he came down quickly and received him with joy. When they all saw this, they began to grumble, saying, "He is gone to stay at the house of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Behold, half of my possessions, Lord, I shall give to the poor. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I shall repay it four times over." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a descendant of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This is one of those parables for me that's kind of ruined by a cartoon that I must have colored as a child in Sunday school. All I see is Zacchaeus, bald and short, up in a tree, right? The first scene is in the cartoon is Zacchaeus about 2 feet shorter than everybody in the crowd, not being able to see, trying to jump so he can see who Jesus is. And then the next scene is Zacchaeus up in the tree, and then remember the rest of the story, right? Zacchaeus called by Jesus that he desired to stay at his house. And then Zacchaeus having a party with Jesus at his home. That might be all of our desire, to have Jesus home with us for a party. But let's look at the story, because Luke has in this tremendous layers of meaning. They're passing through Jericho. Right? Jericho and Capernaum are two of the cities in Galilee that were on the Silk Road. Everything passed through Jericho and Capernaum. Right? We think of Jesus being from this little backwater place, right? Jerusalem being New York City and Galilee being, well, you know, Petersburg. Well, Wrangell, sorry. But Jesus grew up and lived and interacted with everyone passing through on the Silk Road. Right? Well, I think we need to think about that. And in the coming months and years together, we'll look at who this Jesus is who spoke 3 or 5 languages, who can certainly read and write. Right, as he was handed the scroll of Isaiah and read from it in Hebrew, which would have been his church language, right? And Aramaic being spoken at home, Greek being spoken when he worked building the 10 cities, the Decapolis. Right? Jesus is a very interesting man. We need to come to know him. And Zacchaeus had that desire. He wanted to know Jesus. But I think we might have been standing in the way. We're the crowd. We're the crowd who walks with Jesus. Faithfully, we're on our way to Jerusalem. Right? We know how the story ends. We're going there. And yet, I wonder if our faithfulness to walking with Jesus has prevented others from coming to see him. Has our self-righteousness prevented others from seeing Christianity as a joyful, life-giving, powerful force for good, not only in our life, but in the world? Right? G.K. Chesterton was famous for saying, Christianity hasn't failed, it's just never been tried. Somehow, as we crowd around Jesus, we think that by mere nearness to him, we'll have salvation. But nearness to Jesus isn't the same as being Jesus. What is our goal, right? Transformation. Paul says, put on the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ would have reacted to Zacchaeus' apparent salvation very differently. Why are they so angry, right? That Jesus is hanging out with those who are coming to faith. Now, certainly I've changed the way we see that. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, right? He had no friends. Imagine if you were Zacchaeus, right? You're working for the occupying army, collecting taxes and a little bit extra from your fellow Jewish citizens in order to feed your family. Think of how well and loved Vichy France was, collaborating with the Germans. Right? My mom grew up in Vichy France. Remembers high-stepping, goose-stepping behind the German army when she was 6 or 7. She was born in 1935. Vichy France did what they thought they needed to do in order to survive. And I'm sure Zacchaeus was doing the same. He was wealthy, he was literate, and he saw who had power and made friends with them. But in some way, making friends with power, he lost his faith. We have to be careful where we place our trust. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't be involved in our world, in our politic, in our families, in our schools, in our community. Absolutely. We need to stand up for what is right, especially for the rights of those who have no voice, right? The poor, the unborn. And yet, we walk so wonderfully with Jesus that we think we're doing okay. And we might just be part of that crowd that's in the way. We're in that crowd and we're in the way of allowing others to come to faith. How many people, I guess you don't know, I know, I've had to welcome back hundreds of people who said, well, my aunt or my sister or my cousin or my brother said, well, now that I have a divorce, I can't go to church anymore. That's not true. Right? It's a huge, complicated, convoluted thing that takes probably a canon lawyer to figure out. So who am I, even as a priest, to say whether or not you can have communion? We're part of that crowd. We've told our friends, oh, sorry, you're not welcome here. Now, we may not have said that out loud, hopefully, but we've said that in our actions or in our inactions, or fail to continue to invite. Everyone in that crowd should have been rejoicing that the one they clearly saw as the Messiah, right? They're headed to Jerusalem to bring about the kingdom of God. They were on their way to glory. And Jesus is inviting another one in. And they're like, sorry, we don't have any more room. We don't like those kind of people, whatever they be, right? Democrats, Republicans, independents, write-ins, people from Wrangell, people from outside of the city, future borough, right? Whoever group it is, we start dividing our body of Christ into little pieces. And Jesus says, hold on, Zacchaeus, I want to come to your house for dinner. Eating with someone doesn't mean we're colluding in their sinfulness, right? That's what the crowd thought. They saw him going to eat at the home of a sinner. What did Zacchaeus say? He says, I have found everything I have ever needed in Jesus Christ. He wouldn't have used that language, right? He didn't know Jesus Christ was his Lord and personal Savior, but he did know that when Jesus called his name, everything changed. Think of the parable or the story of the kingdom of God, like a treasure hidden in the field. And once someone has found that treasure, they go and do what? Sell everything they have that they might have that field. Right? That treasure that's hidden in that field is Jesus calling our name. Jesus calling us to be more than we can be by ourselves. Right? As human beings, we're depraved, seriously sinful. Just look at the state of the world. Right? We hack each other to pieces in war and violence, and it's not that far away. Right? We shouldn't have to have safe homes for women in domestic violence if the human family had figured out how to love, let alone owning and manufacturing weapons of all kinds. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, I want to eat with you. I want to come to your house. And Zacchaeus, right, nearly jumps out of the tree to break his ankle because he's so excited. That's the vision I have. You see a person who is ashamed, right? He couldn't get to the front of the crowd because everyone said, you're a tax collector, you don't belong here. But people who are seeking after the truth will find any means, any way to find it. And so he climbs a tree. Anybody else remember someone with sycamore, right? We should hear Amos, the prophet, in the background, whispering to us about justice, right? And maybe because he climbed the tree, maybe because he saw in Jesus everything he needed, he said, I don't need my wealth anymore. It's empty. What I need is a relationship with you, right? The difference was the crowd knew about Jesus. Zacchaeus had a relationship with Jesus. That's what changes his heart. Right? There's been lots of people who have studied Scripture and found all of the convoluted inaccuracies compared to history and have lost their faith. So I'm suggesting, don't read your Bible. Unless you have a relationship with Jesus. If these are letters from your beloved, then if they get the date wrong or the city wrong, does it matter? Do you see the difference? A mere intellectual understanding of Christ is nice, right? But it's like knowing fluid physics. How often do you do anything with that? Right? It makes my baptisms fantastic. Right? I've got water covered. Even the formulas that can describe water particles spinning around in gyres in the Gulf Stream, they don't really help me. But knowing Jesus personally as a friend, and as Lord changes everything. It makes me desire to be like my lover. Right? It makes me desire to be as generous and as gracious. Did you hear what happened to Zacchaeus? He said, I'm going to give it all away, half of my possessions. And if I've defrauded anyone, I'm going to give it back to them four times over. Do you think the line was queuing up right there? Right? When we have been touched by Christ, we're different. We become more and more like He is, generous, merciful, just, reaching out compassionately to those who are lost in darkness. Why? Because we love them. They're our brother. They're our sister. Now, how do we get there? Right? Because this story seems impossible. Right? I'm not going to climb a tree and Jesus isn't going to walk by. Or is he? Present right here. Right? Present here. How many ways? You remember, right? No. It's okay. It was the 7th of October. I know that's a long time ago. Jesus is present in the assembly. Right? We're the body of Christ. He's present in the Word of God proclaimed. Right? That's why we, if you're in Africa, you dance with the book of the Gospels for like a half an hour before you proclaim it. Right? I've been able to go to some of these celebrations when Africa's come to Long Beach, California. Jesus is present in the priest, right? In the role as head of the assembly. I stand very unworthily and very humbly in persona Christi, in the person of Christ for you. And then Jesus is present par excellence in the Eucharist. But all of those presents need to leave with us, right? Like our little Christmas boxes here, we need to pack ourselves full of that presence of God and take God out into the world. Jesus is really bored locked up here in the tabernacle. I've asked him. It's like, take me for a walk. Take me for a hike. Take me to the bar. Let me reach out to those in need. Take me to school, to work. Take me home. Jesus wants to stay at your home for dinner tonight. Carry him out with you.